you, Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud
John Nemitz.
and David Lauer.
and this is a show where we talk about our loves, our hates, and indifferences, but not really, because this is a special showcase. Oh my gosh, this is oops, I cr oops, what is it called?
Oops, I crap my
Oops,
pants.
I crap my pants. Oops, all deja fuse. Edition
Oops,
two.
all deja vus.
Oops, all deja fuse. Yeah, and yeah, this is the extended segment of the show typically, where it's like, we talk about old topics, usually about 5 minutes, but no, this is a whole fucking episode. So let's get it started with John.
All right. I'm ready already to revisit genealogy. I've got some news today, actually, that I had looked up the region where my ancestors were from, as keen listeners will remember, was in Pomerania. And there was not really records online for that region, but there was a website where they just had these email addresses, and they were like, "Hey, just email us and we'll help you out." And I did, and going back and forth over a few weeks, finally came back with his results today, and unfortunately there is not much to report, so that's kind of a bummer. So this is why maybe it's also an indifferent, because like a lot of the records of like Eastern Germany and Poland and stuff were just lost during like the USSR times or World War II times, or all those crazy times in that region of the world. So it's kind of sad that just like some places just the information just isn't there anymore.
Yeah, really. Yeah, that's too bad. So wait, how far back were you able to go though? You said 1200s, right? For some
Oh yeah,
part.
that was different. That so I'm yeah, my mom's side, where she has ancestors from England, it goes far, goes back super far. So this was on my dad's side. So the oldest relative I have is my great great grandfather, who was born in 1831. The guy who did the research was able to find a brother of that guy, and that brother died in that same region in, what was Pomerania at the time. So I'm hoping there can maybe be a lead there, like if like the brother has like living descendants that still live over there, like that could be a possibility where I might be able to learn more. But this is pretty new, so I haven't had a chance to dive into that yet.
Wow. I thought you were going to say, like, turns out I'm Irish, Dave.
Yeah, they they ran my DNA again, and turns out.
I didn't mention this last time, but like my uncle, he was really big into it. And he, this was like 20 years ago or something, but he went back on like my mom's side of the family. It's my uncle and my mom's side of the family. Like we're descendants of John Hancock, the guy who
Whoa.
was the first guy to sign the Declaration of Independence. So like my mom's mom, my grandma on my mother's side, her last name was Hancock. But she, her and her sister were both women, obviously, and they both married and lost their last name. So it kind of like, so we don't have that name anymore. But he traced the name back, and he was able to trace it back to like John Hancock's grandson, basically, in like 1820 or somewhere in that range. So it was like they got to John Hancock's grandson. They couldn't figure out like I don't think you could figure out like his parents' names or siblings or anything past that, but that's as far back as he got. But it was because he wanted to like get the entire family tree, but kind of hit a roadblock right there. But it's pretty interesting.
Wow. Oh, wait a minute. So the next time someone's wants your signature, they're like, we're gonna need your John Hancock.
Yeah, I've always felt pressure to have a good signature, but it just has never worked out. Well, and I also feel like John Hancock, he was also like, there's a lot of jokes about like him signing it. Like he wrote it in like really big letters, and everyone's like, hey, we got like 80 other people who are gonna sign this. Like, we need to sign smaller, please.
I thought you were going to say he traced his hand for... Oh my gosh. We had a skit once where we're talking about like citing the Declaration of Independence. That was that what it is? Right? And they're like, so yeah, you guys got to sign up. And they're like, what's your name? He's like, John Hancock. It's like, John Hancock. That's not the only thing you get your hand on. And it didn't make any goddamn sense as an insult or anything. shit. It's great.
So, Dave, are you also related to Herbie Hancock?
Yeah, his famous brother.
Yeah,
According to Chris Farley. Or no, was it Tommy Callahan?
I
why do I know that? What's Herbie Hancock? I know that
So he's a
name.
jazz musician.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the joke in Tommy Boy was that Herbie Hancock was the first one to sign the Declaration.
That's great. Next few, Deja.
Well, since John is dipping back to a very recent episode, I'm gonna dip back to a very recent episode
Yes, do
and
it.
talk about cats.
Ooh. Meow.
Vince, you were talking about how cats annoy you because they always just want to go outside, or if you close the door, they always want to meow and go in there. They're like, you can feed them and then they're hungry a half hour later, or their bowl is only half full. I was trying to play like the role of devil's advocate and be like, cats are amazing, I love cats, because I own three cats. But I had like a come to Jesus moment like afterwards, where I'm thinking, I'm like, yeah, Vince was right on like literally everything. I have three cats. I can't stand two of them. Like, two of them can go kick rocks. Like, I don't care. Like, hit the road. There's one cat that I do like, but that cat was super annoying to me last night. She was like, wouldn't I'm like laying in bed, and it's like I had to like kick her out, and we have to like lock our cats in like the garage in the laundry room, because otherwise they'll fucking keep us up all night because they'll be making noise and jumping on the bed. And but we just I put down new sheets on our bed the other day, and the cat was up there getting cat hair all over my fucking clean sheets. It pissed me off. Oh, I love cats, but they're also the worst at the same time.
Yeah, and different, man. That's why I was like, you guys were like, oh, you hate cats. I'm like, no, it's complicated,
The thing is like they're good like 5% of the time. Like, there's a lot of things, like a lot of women are good 5% of the time, but then there's the other 95% of the time where they're annoying.
I want to add a segment to the show, like, apologies or something.
Do like a credits, like we would like to apologize to the following groups of people.
Oh, wow. In your case, half the world's population, right?
Yeah,
At
well, I'm
least.
not saying all women, but there's certain ones, because there's good and bad for everything, you know? We as people, we love to group people into like subgroups and subgroups and just lump them all together and talk shit on them. And that's, I don't know, it's like a natural human thing to do. But, when you're talking about animals and stuff like that, it's easy to do as well. I don't know. A lot of them are shitty. a lot of people are shitty too, so.
All right. I think we've all forgotten what you were even apologizing about. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I figured if I rambled long enough, everyone would forget.
Yeah, and like, really, I just want to say I was taken out of context.
Yeah. I was dehydrated. another Dacia a few. All right. So I'm going to go here. So this is about Dave Attell. He just had his latest show come out maybe last month, something like that. Hot Cross Buns. And it was very entertaining, but something very bizarre happened near the end. I don't know if you guys, have you checked it out at all?
No, I haven't seen it yet, but I should.
So it's a 40-minute long video, right? 30 minutes into it, Dave basically ends his show. Like, all the jokes are there. Like, he's ready to go, but then he's like, all right, I'm going to pull up this recorder and we're going to play Hot Cross Buns and look under your seats. Everyone has a recorder, right? And so they kind of just play some and then that's the end. But then he's like, all right, I'm coming back out. I'll do a little crowd work. And he's just kind of, he says like, hey, I saw you at the, I don't know, fair of something or whatever. You know, he cracks a joke and then he plays the flute. And after a while you're like, wow, this is kind of dying down a little bit, you know? And then he has them throw tomatoes at him because he keeps playing the flute, and then he finally takes off. Then they cut to him outside of the theater, and he's like, guess what, guys? Netflix says I need to have 3 more minutes of material, even after all that shit. So he walks to the docks where these seals are bathing in the sun, and he plays his recorder for 3 more minutes. Then he's like, there. Because he's like, Netflix said they wouldn't pay me unless I, you know, met the a lot of time or whatever. It was so fucking weird. Yeah. Truly
suspect. Sounds like he signed a contract to do, you know, so many specials that were so many minutes in length, but he didn't do his homework or something. And like, he only came up with 30 minutes of material, not 60 minutes. So then he's filling time.
No, it was 40 minutes. So yeah, he basically stretched out the last 10 minutes, but it's like, man, you know, after a while you're like, okay, he keeps playing the recorder. This is so bizarre. God damn it. Yeah.
So like him playing the recorder, I need to watch it, but like, is he doing it like, I'm going to see if I can get the crowd to like turn on me and boo me, because this is like so unexpected or like lame?
Maybe. I don't know. Okay. So in his interviews, you know, nowadays, if someone's got something going on, they go on all the podcasts on YouTube and shit like that, you know? So he was doing interviews and I'm just checking his stuff out. And he's like, it takes me a long time to write, which I know, like, you know, I follow his career. He's a slow writer, a good writer, but slow. And he was like, you know, my stuff, it's like a good half an hour. Anything more than that, I just don't feel it's right. Like, I have everything just sewn up for a good half an hour show. So I think that's just what happened. He was trying to foreshadow like, oh, so when my Netflix thing hits, it's just going to start to go downhill after 30 minutes. It's crazy. Or so maybe, I recommend it, but
maybe he tried going to Netflix saying like, I can do a half hour special, and they just kept insisting it needed to be 40 minutes or whatever. And that was his protest or something. I don't know.
Yeah. That's the other thing. I've never known Dave to get mad. So it was more, you know, passive aggressive, I guess, but still like, it was so weird. Like, I don't know. I still recommend the show. It's just, be prepared for it to dip after 30 minutes.
Yeah. I just listened to a podcast and Dave Attell was on it. Bad Friends with Andrew Santino and Bobby Lee.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I really like that podcast. It's hilarious. And with Dave Attell on there, it was awesome. It was a great episode, but he didn't talk about his special. Like, I had no idea.
No, really?
I had no idea you had a special. Maybe I might not have like listened to the entire podcast because sometimes I, you know, start one and I only listen to 25 minutes and then I stop it. But...
That's more than what you give this podcast. All right, new day, chef. You?
Yeah, is it back to me?
I think so.
All right. Oh, I'll go back to gambling. This is less timely now, but does anyone else ever feel pressured to buy like a Powerball ticket when the jackpot gets that high?
Yeah, my coworkers were talking about it, and then I ended up going to Quick Trip and buying $20 worth of Powerball.
Yeah, or like you're like at the convenience store for something random, and like the cashier is like, "Oh, you're gonna buy a ticket or whatever," and like,
"Oh, even the cashier is like,
yeah, for real, yeah." Like, I don't know. That's like, I didn't think of that when we were talking about other gambling, but I feel like that's like an area where it's like very normal gambling. I mean, and it's, you know, it's low cost, you know, as long as you're not buying like a ton of tickets or doing it every day or whatever. But like, yeah, it's just kind of bizarre. And like, I remember it hasn't happened at my current job at all, but my last job, like, you know, they, people would pull their money together and like go, you know, like Dave said, buy $20 worth of tickets or whatever. And, you always wonder, like, how would this actually go, like, if we won? Like, is this going to be a civil thing? Like, you know, it seems pretty clear how it should go, but will it go?
There will be lawyers.
Okay, so I don't. I haven't. It does seem tempting, but I usually don't do it. But when you guys get tickets, do you pick your own numbers, or do you let it just generate randomness?
I've only ever done random. I have no affinity for any specific numbers, so yeah.
Yeah, I've just done it random. I know people who don't like the randomness because they're like, well, look at the numbers, or like they're too close together, you know? Like the first number is a 4 and the next number is a 5. Like that's not going to be it. It's going to be 4 and then it'll be around, you know, 9 to 13, somewhere in that range. And then like, I don't know. It was our, you know, Jonathan Patterson, Vince. So yeah, like this was like 15 years ago. He was describing the best way to do the Powerball, and then, you know, to do the power play where you pay like an extra dollar or two, and then I don't know what happens. You can increase your winnings. I don't know. It's all kind of stupid. I had a coworker this week. I was saying like, oh, Mother's Day is coming up. I'm like, oh, I got to get my mom something for Mother's Day. And they're like, well, I was like, well, I'll probably just put $20 in a card and be like, yeah, that's it. Because I don't feel like putting any effort into anything. But they're like, oh, don't do cash. They're like, at least get her lottery tickets and put lottery tickets in a card. So that way she...
Because that way you might be giving her nothing.
Yeah, it's like it could be $20 or nothing.
Is that and like Schrodinger's cat or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I just brought up Schrodinger's cat to my coworker like an hour and a half ago. Oh, really? I was like, yeah, we have a work cell phone. And I was like, I left it in the department. I didn't bring the work cell phone with me. So I'm like, anytime I bring the phone with me, I always end up getting a call. And I hate taking calls. So I'm like, if I leave the phone in the department, I won't have to answer. Like, I'm not going to miss a call if I don't have the phone on me. Like, that was my logic. And no one will call if I don't have the phone on me. So I'm just not going to look at it.
Oh, God. Okay. So real quick, though, daily pick 3. How is that not everyone winning that at all time? At all times, like, I want to just like pick 209, you know what I mean? Like Nate Diaz 209, just like every day now. The more I think about it, it's like it's got to hit 209 eventually. And sure, those daily pick threes, they're not huge. They don't put out a lot. Unlike my ex. I don't know what I'm getting at, but like I think you could win like a couple $100, maybe $1,000 here and there, you know? So I'm
Yeah, well, I
kind
mean,
of.
I guess there's a 1 in 1,000 chance, right?
Yeah. Oh my
Like,
gosh. So buy 1,000
because
tickets,
zero
Jeremy.
zero zero through 999, right? So what's the prize? Like, I assume, like, I assume they've done the math correctly to that. Well, I bet you're splitting the pot, right? Like, if multiple people get it right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't
Yeah, I don't
know.
know the mechanisms behind it. I remember hearing a story about like a bunch of people won, like, not the big jackpot, but like got five numbers or something, like all on the same day, and it was like really suspicious, and like they looked into it, and it turned out, like, you get your you go to a Chinese restaurant, you get a fortune cookie with the lucky numbers on it. Like, it just happened that there was a batch of fortune cookies that had the numbers that won the lottery that day. And apparently enough people get a fortune cookie and go buy a lottery ticket that, like, it, like, was significant how many people won that day.
That's crazy.
And they
I
were
always remember
all.
getting fortune cookies and like it'd be like your lucky number is 22, but it was only one number. So I'm like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah,
To
really.
collect five more fortune cookies, you can buy a Powerball ticket.
That is so true. Here's one number, okay? What can I possibly do with one lucky number? Or wait, can you bet on horses? How many numbers are they? I don't know. Or dogs.
Feel it's just like however many horses there are per race, like there's that many numbers. So like 8, 10, I don't know,
Yeah, all right.
12, who knows?
Now that we're, I feel like since we're talking about gambling, I should bring this up now because I don't want to do a whole nother topic on this another day. But at work, we've found a way to make watching sports really fun. And that's just everyone puts in $5 or $10. And we did it with like our brackets with March Madness and then PGA Golf with the Masters. We did like a little draft and we all selected five different golfers and whoever's golfers like ranked the highest gets the pool of money and got like $50. We all put in like $10. And like watching golf to me is like the boringest thing in the world, but if you gamble on watching golf, it's really exciting. Because like when you watch when especially when it's the Masters, because the golfers when they miss a shot they get really pissed off and it's like a very gentlemanly like game, but once they start missing a couple shots in a row they get really pissed off and then it becomes really funny because you're like, good, fuck you, I wanted you to do bad. Because like when you're betting against like certain players or certain players you really want to do bad, so when they hit it into the trees or into the sand you're like, yes, I don't know, it made it so much more exciting.
Dave's out in the stands being, you're not going to make this putt, you jackass.
Volkswagen.
It's the greatest sports movie ever, Happy Gilmore.
Next station few.
Mine was awkward daily interactions. So I don't really like hate the awkward daily interactions. I guess I'm just so used to it. It's, it's not a big deal. But there's like one type that really annoys me the most. And that's when you see someone in passing and you're like walking by in a hallway. And like generally you just kind of do like the nod of acknowledgement, what's up? Or like say hey. And then, but some people we're like passing each other, but they want to ask a question like, hey, how's your day going? we don't got enough time for this question right here. We're walking in opposite directions. And it's like,
it could be better. I had a rough morning.
And then, I don't know. And when you're younger, like sometimes you'll say like the stupid corny shit, like, you know, living the dream. And then you're like, oh, and then at a certain point, people just say, hey, how's your day going? I'm like, what's up? Yeah. Like, I don't even respond to the question with an answer. I don't even say good. I'm just like, hey, treat it as if they were saying hello. And that's it. Because like, I'm not going to dignify your crappy question with an answer.
This is kind of a weird tangent, but someone told me that like Americans are like unique in the way that we lean when we're standing around, like, and that's like something they teach, you know, like spies and stuff, like, don't lean like an American. And I was like skeptical of that, and I looked it up, and there was stuff that said that. And I was like looking up other things that make Americans unique that other people don't find weird, or that other cultures find weird. And one of them was like saying how's it going as a greeting is something that Americans do that other cultures find weird. And like, I'll say how's it going to people not expecting an answer at all. It's like I'm literally expecting like you do, or they're like, so like, yeah. You know, like that's all, you know. It's just like, if you want to stop and tell me your life story, yeah, fine, go for it. If you just want to keep walking, that's also fine.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, I'm pretending to care, but we all know that I don't care.
Well, how do we lean? Do you remember that?
It seemed like it was just leaning in general, which seems weird to me. Like, leaning is the best.
Yeah. Okay. Well, oh, I like, know. We lean towards freedom.
I think they hate our freedom.
I believe they want to take it away from us.
Is it just like putting more weight on one leg than the other? Is that considered leaning?
Maybe. That could
I'm
be.
Not like, I get it. Like if I'm putting my elbow on the wall or on like a counter or something. I don't know. Because like when I'm at work, sometimes I have to stand in place for a very long time. So I'm like, my feet are getting sore, and I'm always just like, and I'm just like adjusting because I'm just uncomfortable. And it's just like a different type of leaning constantly.
Your boss ever tell you if you can lean, you can clean? Or if you have time to lean, you have time to clean?
I was told that when I had a job in high school. And I was like, no, this is McDonald's. We don't clean shit.
Speaking of high school, you know what I never got to do? Lean out of my locker at a girl. You know what I mean? I mean, like, even George McFly did that to Lorraine, whatever her name was. Yeah. His own mom. Oh, man. Yeah, deja vu, one more or something? Where are we at? It's a tie. Let's go with, oh, okay, so we talked about the Oscars way back, and I just wanted to say that my favorite category is the best supporting actor. Just historically, the men roles were written way more better, you know, like women roles were shit for a long time and still kind of are, right? So anyways, men get the juicier roles, but between lead and supporting, it's totally supporting that has the better stuff. They're funnier, they could play the villains, they, you know, they have crazier bits and stuff. So I wanted to throw out a couple of amazing best supporting actor nominations. Willem Dafoe in Shadow of the Vampire. Have you guys seen it?
I have not.
Oh my gosh, terrific. He plays You know the movie Nosferatu?
I do.
So it's based on the idea that, like, oh, it was so realistic that they must have hired a real vampire. So the idea is that during the making of Nosferatu, Willem Dafoe plays a real life ancient old vampire on set, but he's like slowly eating the crew and shit like that. And
Okay,
believe
that
me,
sounds awesome.
yes, it is so fucking good. Like the movie itself is really low budget, but what saves it is Willem Dafoe's hilarious performance. He is for sure over the top, but it's good over the top. He, after a while, you're convinced that he is such this ancient old evil. You know, you're like, oh God. Oh, it's so good. And yeah, I'm so glad that he was nominated for it because it was so unique. And yeah, it's a great performance by Defoe.
And speaking of Defoe, I watched Platoon for the first time
Oh
like
shit.
a few months ago. I'm like, is Willem Dafoe kind of hot? Like, I've only known him as like this kind of grotesque older guy, but like,
Right.
he's looking good in Platoon.
One of the rare times he played the good guy.
Yeah.
And he got nominated for that as well. I was thinking about bringing that up, but fuck, you guys gotta watch Shadow of the Vampire with him. It's great. Okay. And then another one is Casey Affleck in The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. Have you guys seen it?
Have not seen that either.
No, I've never seen it. I've always wanted to see it though. Is it worth seeing?
Oh yeah, the movie is very good. Like it's my top five Western movies, you know? But Casey Affleck, it's such a different movie because it's about like, you know, he eventually assassinates Jesse James, he's the leader of their group of bandits or whatever, right? But Casey Affleck is like obsessed with him. And so it's almost like how toxic fandom would be way back in the day and stuff like that. And Casey Affleck plays him so odd, and you feel bad for him because, you know, back in the day, everyone be like, what the fuck's his problem? He's funny, isn't he? You know what I mean? Like basically thinking he's gay just because he expresses some sort of emotion. You know what I mean? Like you feel so bad that he's stuck in such a brutal, barbaric time. You know what I mean? But he is very off, and you start to feel concerned how obsessed he is with Brad Pitt, who plays Jesse James, and stuff like that. It's such a good performance, even though Casey turns out to be an asshole in real life. But yeah, it's good. You're like, Jesus Christ, you are so better than your brother Ben. You know, it's crazy. But yeah, those are just a couple. I wrote a bunch of roles down, but yeah, if you like Best Supporting Actor in particular, those are the films.
I will check them out in the future.
All right. Well, and yeah, so that's it. Like, subscribe, comment. This was a few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Fitz and Cloud.
John Nemeth.
And David Lauer.
And go to a few GoldilocksBears.com. Do it now.